O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from a letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord. and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 21, as we say together, Glory to you, Lord Christ. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Jesus said to them, I will also ask you a question. If you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? And they argued with one another, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, and for all regard John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. He answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said, the first. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. The Gospel of the Lord. As we say together, praise to you, Lord Christ. My dear ones, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and his living, risen, and returning Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the power, the love, and yes, the joy of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you were to enter the dining room of our home in Ocean Shores, one of the first things you might notice is what my wife and I consider to be a magnificent piece of Christian art. It's a treasured piece in our home, not only because of its artistry, but because of its powerful message of Jesus' love and compassion for the world. The artist has beautifully captured one of the most important messages in all of the scriptures. And that is the occasion when at the Last Supper, you may remember this, Jesus knelt before Peter and, taking the position of a slave, insisted on washing Peter's dirty feet. It's here as pictured in John's Gospel that Jesus says to a very reluctant Peter, you call me teacher and Lord. And you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Certainly this teaching of Jesus is among the most important for you and me as well. What our Lord does for Peter is a supreme act of humility and amazing grace. For here is the one whom we confess is the Lord God Almighty, kneeling before another human being, doing what an ordinary servant would do. And further, this teaches Peter and us that this is how we are to treat one another, that is, with a servant's heart and attitude. This posture of a humble servant is exactly what St. Paul is advocating to the church members who gathered in the city of Philippi in the first century. Paul writes, let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count his equality with God a thing to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. You know, one way for us to step into this powerful text is to see how we personally, and as a congregation, are included in the daily drama of salvation and our lives together right here on First Avenue in Aberdeen, Washington. Paul's words exhort us to act in ways that mirror Christ's humiliation, his service, his obedience. We're being encouraged to see our daily lives as, well, if you will, a kind of street theater that involves us in the action. Our ministry at St. Andrew's, the ways in which we treat one another and the people living in our community, well, it's not a television show. It's not a movie. It's certainly not virtual reality. Instead, it's God's action in the flesh invading our world, catching you and me up into the saving work of God, making us also participants. We're actors in the real life drama called life. My dear ones, the good news is that you and I are no longer spectators. We are part, if you will, of the spectacle of God working in the world. Everything Jesus is about us too. The manner in how we treat one another, speak to one another in our personal encounters, in our vestry meetings, congregational decisions about our future. One friend of mine put it this way, you know, people of goodwill can differ, and yet when we gather together, even if we have different opinions, we can come with humility, a willingness to try to understand another person's point of view. And when we do this, what St. Paul is saying to us, we're stepping into the place where Christ lives in us. In other words, again, we're not spectators. We're actually involved in that divine drama of the love and the humility and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Let me conclude with this poignant observation about our Lord Jesus, because it fits hand in glove with what Paul's encouragement is to the church, both modern and in ancient times. It's important that we remember then that in the ancient world, death by crucifixion was the worst thing that could happen to anyone. Crucifixion inflicted more than just excruciating pain and a slow, cruel kind of death. It meant public display of such pain and death as to invite mockery by the bystanders. Crucifixion hence meant a public display of such consequence that it meant hitting rock bottom. You heard me correctly. Crucifixion meant hitting rock bottom. One could not possibly get any lower or more shamed than crucifixion. For Jesus, who had been on with the Father in the glory of heaven, the death on the cross demonstrates inexorably the extreme humility and love, compassion for the world and for you and me. My dear ones, would you join me in repeating again these words from Paul's letter to the Philippians? Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count his equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in the likeness of men, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My dear ones, we're invited to step into this life story, this drama of salvation, not only by what we say, but how we say it. May God bless each one of us. Amen.